portion of the Word of God to which I invite us to give our attention is taken from the book of Psalms, Psalm 46. Hear the word of the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful that we do have in you an invincible fortress. We're grateful that we have in you the source of all strength and comfort. And we pray, Lord, that armed by that strength and comfort, we might be enabled to be a strength and comfort to others. And so we pray that you would feed us and instruct us on your word and establish us in Jesus' name. Amen. On Tuesday, our sense of security as a nation was unalterably shattered. Of course, this is not the first calamity that has come into your life or mine, but in other situations, in almost every other case, our anguish is an intensely personal experience. In those other cases, it's the loss of a job and devastating humiliation that comes from bankruptcy, but it's our problem only shared by those who love us and know us intimately. Or perhaps it's the news that a life partner, a wife or husband, has been unfaithful, and what you thought was a marriage was in reality a charade. That too is an unspeakable calamity and devastation, but it's one borne by the heart of the individuals involved and those whose lives are directly touched. What happened yesterday and what's going to continue today and in the days and weeks ahead as each additional name is added to the list of the confirmed dead is a calamity that is of national and even international proportion. The global village that's knit together by instant communication and rapid travel has suffered an incalculable injury to its inhabitants. A devastating loss of human life, the wrenching loss of security, freedom, and peace for all of us who are left behind. Perhaps then never before can we really say honestly that we're able to identify with the inspired words of this psalm. Because this text, as is the case for so many other wonderful passages in Scripture, speaks of a catastrophe that has been visited on all the people of God. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Our struggles, our daily struggles with pleasing the boss or making ends meet or making sure our social life is satisfying, are all reduced to the trivial by this kind of calamity where the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Trouble is when that happens. Trouble is not the things that we are apt to be distracted with, which are mere inconvenience. Trouble is when four airlines are hijacked and turned into lethal missiles. Trouble is when 210-story high towers that are the emblems of American financial prosperity and might are reduced to rubble. Trouble is when a building that is the symbol of the invincible military strength of this nation is breached and violated and left with a gaping hole in its midst. Contrary to many people's wishes, the Scripture does not promise Christians that they're going to be free from such trouble. This psalm, Psalm 46, assumes it's going to happen. God does not promise us that He will spare us from the plots of wicked men. It does not promise us that He will save us from all such troubles, but simply that He will save us in the midst of all such troubles, that He will be with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. God will call us, many of us, at many points in our lives to walk that valley of the shadow of death. His promise is not to spare us that anguish, but to be with us and fortify us and strengthen us with His own presence. Fear not, for I've redeemed you, He promised in Isaiah. When you pass through the waters, and you will, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, it's going to happen. They will not sweep over you. And when you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So what do we say in a time of catastrophic need like this? On what can we rely when all of our seeming defenses have been demonstrated for their weakness? Terrorists want to produce terror, and what they've succeeded in accomplishing is something utterly terrifying. So then what's going to keep us from giving way to panic and fear? It's God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. The psalm mentions a very intriguing point when it says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Some of you may have seen the interviews with the structural engineers who had been involved, or their firm had been involved, in the construction of the Twin Towers at the World Trade Center, and how they shared with the public that the accomplishment of those towers marked a new standard for redundancy in the structural members of a building. It was thought to be an extraordinary feat, and indeed explains why the building sustained the immediate impact of two planes flying into them. In the ancient world, there's a parallel to this. It was in the wisdom of the structural engineers of ancient cities to site them on great rivers. All the best cities had a river because it meant that you could withstand any attack. When you closed your gates, you were an invincible fortress. The enemy could see, besiege you for years, and you'd still have a water supply and plenty to eat. Damascus, the great capital city of Syria, was situated on the Amana River. Thebes, the great capital city of Egypt, had the mighty Nile running by it. Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrians, had, of course, the Tigris. And Babylon, the capital of the Babylonians, had the mighty Euphrates. But our text says there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. What river is there for Jerusalem? Well, you know, there's no river in Jerusalem. All they've got is a tiny little Gihon spring, and it's not even located in the city. There's no river, not for the naked eye to see, for eyes that look at outward circumstances. But what's their security resting in? Well, you see, there is a river for those who have eyes to see. There is a source of constant supply for those who know their God's presence in their midst. There is a river indeed whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. You see, God is within her, and so she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Even as Jesus said to the woman at the well, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, the literal water in which she was relying. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Do you have that spring? Have you prayed that others might know that sufficient supply in the inner man, that their needs would be met as well? Do you know a God whose strength is made perfect in our weakness, whose presence with us gives us an inner peace that can make us as bold as lions? It's only that presence of God that will account for that peace, the peace that passes all understanding, that guards our hearts and minds in Christ. And if we have that river of God's presence in our midst, then we will not give to our enemies the one victory that we must withhold from them, the victory of causing us to hate them back. The scripture tells us, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Yesterday, the world saw the devastating power of hate to wreak destruction. May today the world see, by the grace of God, the greater power of love to heal, to restore, and finally, by the grace of God, to overcome evil. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you might enable many, many around this country, but especially those in the devastated sites of New York City and Washington, to have that inner supply of living water, that inner reserve of strength and courage and peace, that ability to love and to help and to give, that the world might see an even more impressive display of might in the might of love. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.